Radio's Dave McGinnis, Coach Mac, is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. He's your coach. He's our coach. He's Coach Dave McGinnis. Coach, you like being called coach everywhere you go because you're kind of Nashville's coach. That's got to be a pretty cool thing to think you're the coach for a whole city.
I've been called coach for a long time. I mean, I've been, you know, my first name is David, and I haven't been called David in about 40 years. It's been Coach Mac for that long.
Coach Mac brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance, health insurance, that is. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. Arthur Smith, he's got the Falcons covered as head coach. And I'm telling you, Coach Mac, I've been pissed off because I've seen some national writers who are trying to include some narrative about who Arthur's dad is, that has anything to do with how he got to where he is, when you know as well as anybody that dude started at the bottom and was a grinder to get to where he is, worked his way to the top.
Well, that's a very uninformed opinion, and people that put that out there have no clue, you know, who this guy is. I mean, I know him very well. I worked with him every day for 1 year when I agreed to stay and help Mike Munchak that first year he became head coach. And Arthur Smith is the complete antithesis of anything like that. I mean, Arthur Smith has earned everything that he's gotten. He is clearly, and really, I mean, if you've ever met his father, I mean, that's what he intended, you know, I think for all of his children in talking with Arthur. I mean, and to me, he's the exact opposite of anything of an entitled person at all. I mean, he is, as I said, I was very impressed with him then, the year that I worked with him. I told Jeff Fisher when we went to the Rams, there's a young coach there, Arthur Smith, that is absolutely someone we would like to have on our staff. He is going places. And then, you know, I've kept up with Arthur throughout, you know, his whole career. Then when I came back here in the 4 years of doing Titans Radio, I mean, I've been so impressed with Arthur for a long time. And I'll say this, every year that I have done this, you know, since I left L.A. and have done this, I've been offered to go to a staff, you know, once or twice a year, twice this year, you know, to say, you know, would you come be a senior assistant for this and that? And that's not what I have in mind right now at this point in my career. But if Arthur Smith said, hey, Coach Mack, would you come help me? I would absolutely go help him. That's how much I think of him. This guy is legitimate.
Well, there's a report, and I haven't seen that it's true, but there was a report that he might even bring Dean Pease in for some capacity. And it sounds like Dean Pease would obviously feel the same way about Arthur Smith. Like, absolutely, I would help that guy if he asked for my help.
Well, there's no reason not to feel like that. If you're involved in football and you know anything about what it takes, you know, to at least have a chance or be on a path towards success with a football coach, I mean, you would. I mean, that doesn't surprise me that, you know, if Dean would say that. Doesn't surprise me at all because the guy's legitimate.
Yeah. Coach Mack is legit, and he joins us every Tuesday right around this time, 2:15, here on Blaine and Mickey.
So now at this point, Coach, you're looking for an OC as well as a DC. How would you go about this process in evaluating, you know, offensive coordinators and defense coordinators? And I say that with a grain of salt with DC because I don't know if no one was fired. So everybody's saying they need a DC in title. There was already a DC. So is there an interview for DCs as well?
Well, I mean, the reports are that he interviewed Terrell Austin. You
right.
know, I know Terrell, you know, very well. I've never worked with him. I know a lot of people that have worked with him. And then I know him just from being in the business as long as I have. And so there's a report that he did that. Blaine, here's my answer. Here's my answer to that question. When you're a head coach in the National Football League, which I've been one, you've got a list of people. I mean, it's not and when you hire people and you start to layer your staff, you expect people and you expect to have success. And you know that if you have success, then people on your staff are going to be elevated throughout the ranks. And some will eventually get a chance to become a head coach. And then some may become a head coach. So you've got lists of people. I mean, it's not like this has just jumped up on Mike Vrabel. You know, and so far he's had two. I mean, his coaching tree in the time he's been a head coach is already he's already put two head coaches into the league, you know, in Matt LaFleur and Arthur Smith. So he has got a list and he's got people in mind. But we all know that he's going to be very deliberate about it. I do know that. And as I said, you know, what he's going to do, who he's going to do it with, I would have no idea on that. But I do know that it's not something that just jumped up on him and surprised him. And if the rumors are true, or the speculation is true, or the reports are true that he's interviewed Terrell Austin, well, then clearly he's thinking about doing that also. So that to me is the most intelligent answer that I can give on that, because I know what I did when I was a head coach. I always had a list of people. Now, your list may not coincide with who is available because of contract situations, you know, and how that is. But, you know, clearly you have got to have an idea, because that's something that, you know, even when, you know, I went through the three interviews that I did for head coaching jobs, they wanted to know, I'm talking about the powers that be and the owners, as to an idea of who I had in mind for a staff. And so, you know, I know Mike Vrabel's got people in mind, but he will take his time in doing this, Blaine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, maybe I misguided you on the actual question. I was really asking, what are the characteristics you're looking for in offensive coordinators in DCs when you're going through that interviewing process of these candidates? What do you want to make sure that you're hitting on, whether you like the fit or not?
Well, first of all, you've got need guys that will be compatible with your staff, with what's going on, because staff compatibility is huge. You can't have a staff divided. And then, I mean, once you've established, I mean, you talk about offensive coordinator, they've established, you know, who they are and what they are. Now, you don't have to bring somebody in that's going to do exactly what Arthur Smith did, because nobody will. But what you want to do is sit down and see if your philosophies coincide. And then you want a track record of somebody that can develop players. That can develop players and that can also coalesce a group of players. Because basically, when you're a coordinator in this league, you're the head coach of that room, and you've got to be able to coalesce, you know, guys together. So you want those characteristics. And then you also want, you know, somebody that is going to be able to fit in with a culture that you've already developed. I mean, they've got a definite, you know, culture and a philosophy that they've developed up there, you know, in the years that he and John Robinson have been together. I mean, they've made the playoffs, you know, every year. So they've got something going on there. And so that's what you sit down. That's what the interviews are for. As I said, I've been through that interview process, you know, interviewing, you know, for a coordinator's job, and I've also interviewed for a head coaching job. And all of those questions were the questions that were asked of me, and they were the same questions that I asked when I was picking coordinators and picking assistant coaches.
One last question real quick on Arthur Smith. Now that they won't have the king in his offense, what version of his offense, or as a coach, do you think he'll make adjustments to, you know, the type of players he has on his scheme at the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, well, that's something that I know that Arthur will do, because I know that he's not dogmatic as far as in what he does. And I just know him very well. He will take what they have there. They have a veteran quarterback. I mean, they got a veteran quarterback, and they've got receivers. And so he will adjust clearly as to what he thinks, you know, where is his offensive line? What type of run game can I run? Is it going to be a more an outside zone scheme now? Or am I going to have to incorporate more gap scheme because of what my offensive line can do? All of those things. But I do know this, Arthur Smith will not be static nor dogmatic in what he does. He will adapt, you know, to who he has here. He adapted here. I mean, he adapted here very well. And, you know, I talked quite a bit, you know, from his first to his second year of being a coordinator as to how he was going to layer his offense from the first to the second year. And we saw that, you know, we saw a lot of those things that he did as far as adjusting personnel groups. And so he will adjust, Blaine. He really will. But I think what he does have is he knows he's already said he's going to call plays. He's going to call plays there in Atlanta. He's going to do that. And so he's going to develop a relationship, you know, with Matty Ice there, because that's what his success was here. He developed a relationship with Ryan Tannehill that we saw the development and the growth of that.
Well, with Coach Mack giving us a Mack attack in radio.
So you mentioned this, Coach. Obviously, the last two guys who were the Titans offensive coordinator got an NFL head coaching job. I would imagine that makes it very enticing for anybody, especially when you throw in work with Mike Vrabel, work with John Robinson, work with Amy Adams Strunk, work for her. I mean, you got a heck of a crew that you're working with. And here's the other thing. Your quarterback's in place. Your 2,000-yard running back's in place. You got a number one receiver in A.J. Brown. And the whole starting offensive line is back, and you'll get LaJuan next year. That's a whole lot to sell to anybody.
Well, yeah, the stability of the organization is at the top of that list, Mickey, just as you mentioned. And you mentioned all of the plus categories for the Tennessee Titans in the correct order. It starts with your ownership, and that is as solid as you can get. I mean, I could sell that to anybody. And then going on through, you know, the symbiotic relationship that you have between the front office and the head coach, and then the players that you have. And also you can see, I mean, it's a very stable organization, and that means a lot to coaches. I mean, as I said, during my 31-year career, I had chances to move places, and I looked at the stability of the organization, you know, a lot to begin with, and they've got that in place here. And so you're absolutely right. And then so if all the other pieces fit, but that's something that guys that are hot commodities as coordinators, you know, in this league, that's something that they will look at. And it's very, very important, too, because stability in organizations in the National Football League in this day and age is extremely important, especially next year when we're going to be dealing with a truncated, you know, salary cap. That's going to be different, too. And so all of those things are very, very important.
How much, Coach, would you invoke, and we were just talking to the Texans, and letting your star players, Henry as well as Tannehill, have a little bit of an equation, part of the equation with hiring of your offensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, I don't think you give total autonomy, you know, right, you know, to any player in that. You don't. I mean, that's just not what you do. But if you would like their input, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, depending on the personality of the player. I mean, and those two players that you just mentioned, you know, to me, they're totally team guys, completely team guys. They've proven themselves, you know, on the field and off the field, the type of person they were. So obviously nothing wrong with that. With those two guys, you just got to be sure that you're getting input from the correct type of people. And those two guys that you mentioned, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, they've proven that they're the right type of player and person.
How tough is it, Coach? Because let's say, okay, Arthur Smith has been in here, and we talked about this, and you just mentioned it. Okay, it's year two. You can layer stuff on to what everybody knows. You don't have to install anything. How much does that play into the next search that maybe you find a guy from a similar background, a similar system, so everybody doesn't just come in and tear everything up and start all over again?
Well, Mickey, that's part of the interview process, and that's what you have to unearth during the interview process. You know, you can start to get your candidates in order, but then that is something that you start to unearth, because the main thing about coming in as a coordinator is the language. That's extremely, extremely important, because you're going to interview somebody or somebodies that have the requisite skills, but then it's going to be the language, because as you just mentioned, you know, that was a very successful offense that they had. Extremely successful.
Historically,
you know?
Yeah.
But yes, and you know, and schemes, you know, can pretty much overlap. But language is what's extremely important. And you know, he's, the offensive staff was an excellent staff. And so you're going to have guys on the staff too, that will have input. I mean, when I was named head coach, I had my offensive line coach, George Warhop, who's still in the league. And then Johnny Rowland, who was a historically good running back coach in this league. Yeah, I had them involved in part of the process, just seeing how we could marry, you know, the at least the formula for what we had, and the language. The language is important.
I'm with Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans, talking Titans and more right here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Coach, I have to ask you, how would you judge this year's draft class and then going into another offseason where you may not get quite the data you're used to over the last 2 years on players like you normally do? And then how much then will you feel like you'll have two draft classes now going in, even though you felt like, you know, this past draft class didn't contribute a lot, especially when you're talking about the first three picks?
Yeah, well, the first three picks, they all had different reasons they didn't. You know, right. Two of them is because of injury. There's really not anything you can do about that other than hope that hopefully that everything is back to normal as far as the things that they get to do preseason, where they can get their bodies ready, because getting your body ready out of the NCAA into the National Football League, as you well know, is totally different. Now, the first round pick was a totally different. I mean, that was all on him and his inability to be able to do what you need to do. And so the first three not being available, there were two very distinct reasons between the two for injury, and then the first round draft pick that was totally his fault. you know, completely his fault that he wasn't able to be able to do what anybody thought he would be able to do on the field because of his off the field activities. So to me, you still, your evaluation is going to be different for everybody. I just, you know, have talked to some of the people at the Senior Bowl. That's going to be different down there too. I told Mickey this, I was offered the opportunity to be the head coach of one of the teams at the Hula Bowl this year. And I got the list of their people that are going to be there, but that's going to be, you know, Rex Ryan's going to be the head coach of one team. I'm probably not going to be able to do that because of my schedule, but they have some different procedures they're going to go through too. The Hula Bowl and the Senior Bowl are the only two All-Star games that are going to be held, you know, with live coaches and with players present. Mm. And so it's going to be different. And then I've just read all the new rules for the combine. It's going to be totally different. There's nothing in person in Indianapolis this year whatsoever. So your evaluation process, Blaine, for this year is going to be different than it ever has been. But you've got to lean on the ability of your organization to adapt, just like everybody had to lean on the ability of their organization to adapt during COVID this year. So that's going to be completely different.
How much will it help or hurt a guy like myself that goes to Ball State and they're going to the schools to work out and they go, well, you at Ball State, you only got one prospect. Go to Notre Dame or go to wherever to do your workout and mix in with the other players. Is it going to help some of those guys who are behind the scenes that are moving up draft boards in the later rounds or does it hurt them?
Well, I think it's going to hurt them because you can't go to every school, and you're right. You're going to have to go regionally somewhere to work out, and they're going to have to relax probably those restrictions as far as to where you can regionally go to work out. And I think all of that is still in the works because that's going to be extremely important. And plus, from what I saw from the combine, they are going to want to uniformly have workouts, do the same drills at wherever you go. And so to be able to do that, you're going to have to limit the number of places that you go. So you're talking about someone in your instance that was an excellent player at a Mid-American, you know, conference school. You may be the only prospect there. You're going to have to go, I would think, someplace else, you know, to be able to do that. And I think that's going to be part of it.
We're on with Coach Mac giving us the Mac attack.
Coach, it was crazy watching Drew Brees leave the field the other night at the Superdome just because of the career that he's had. But there's a lot of talk he's done, going to go into the TV business now. You coached in the AFC. You coached in the NFC. He played in both. I'm just curious to get your thoughts about a player like him as you see him maybe throw his last pass and kind of head into the next phase of his life.
First ballot Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer, did everything that he could do to optimize and maximize his ability in his career. You know, I mean, there was one franchise that thought he was done because of a shoulder injury. And then now you're talking about a career that is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Nothing but respect, have coached against him, have designed defenses against him, ultimate competitor. And approach the game exactly right. I know coaches that have coached on that staff. I know Sean Payton very well. Look, this guy, you can't say enough about him. And I think what we saw, the ultimate respect that Tom Brady paid to him when he went back out on the field after the ball game to just spend some time with Drew Brees and his family out there. I mean, I don't think there's one person in the National Football League as a player, as a coach, you know, as a front office person that does not respect the way that Drew Brees approached the game and the way that he represented the game.
Well, you mentioned Tom Brady. The beat goes on for him, new team, and this is his 14th appearance in a conference championship game. Just remarkable. And here he is again playing for another chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Not shocking. Not shocking at all. I mean, that dude's the dude. Again, as 31 years of coaching the National Football League, I've coached against some dudes. You know, you can just start back from 35 years back as to who they were. This guy, one of the all-timers. Does it shock me? No.
Did you ever see the graphic where they put him at 43 next to the picture of George Blanda at 43 and just how George Blanda looked like Brady's dad? But you're like me, you're a big football fan from way back, and I remember Blanda and what he meant to the Raiders for so long. Heck, to the Houston Oilers for the first couple of years of this franchise, he threw it all over the yard. But was kind of interesting to see old George's picture against Tom.
Well, it's probably a little bit different the way they treated their bodies during the offseason and the way that they, you know, because when George Blanda was playing at the Raiders, they still had ashtrays in the lockers, you know. So, I mean, it was a different world back then. But George Blanda, to be able to do what he did back then, much respect.
No doubt. Always much respect to you, Coach. Thanks for the time today. We always appreciate you.
Guys, always enjoy my time with you. Thank you. See you, guys.
Thank you,
sir. The Mac Attack, Coach Dave McGinnis, every Tuesday at the same time, right around 2:15, right here on Blaine and Mickey. JT, let's do this. We played this earlier, and the response on Twitter, there's even a response. A UT reporter has responded to this, and I retweeted it. I'll find it. Dan Patrick said some crazy stuff earlier today about Tennessee with McDonald's bags full of money and threw out a coach's name that really nobody else is bringing up, but it's a couple of minutes worth hearing from the DP show. And then I'll tell you, there's a response that I found as well via a reporter who covers UT. We'll do all that next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5.
Coming up this